Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Carried in a place to stay. come home, my love wasn't waiting for me there. Heavy old wheels kept rolling down the hills. Pace was picking up, my cup it rattling in the spill. All those refills, cheap beers, pain pills, more tears, heart beating my eardrum. The harder it beats, the more I'm thinking about someone with a love like you. How can they be true? Someone with a love like you never can be lonely. Never can be lonely. By the looks of things, you're still playing the same game, viewing through the same frame. Or the same way, always someone else to blame, and a new hand to hold on until tomorrow, when to cover you with sorrow. All those refills, cheap beers, pain pills, more tears, heart beating my eardrum.
Alabama, playing closed for Sundays here at Owl's Spirits and Music. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I take a zinger. A lot of folk in disguise. Telling lies, tearing lies. They look right in the eyes, giving you bad advice. Lies, tearing lies. I can't take it no more. Whatever you're lying for, you left your way, the devil's at the door. But you can rest assured, whatever you're lying for, you left your way, the devil's at the door.
Nobody knows his numbers, nobody knows his name.
Nobody knows his sound, and nobody sounds the same. Nobody knows his numbers, nobody knows his name, and nobody knows his sound, and nobody sounds the same.
There? Oh, yeah. Just do a few songs, right?
Are y'all ready to run it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, welcome you to Porch Talk, and Taylor just played the new series. You can catch it on YouTube or most of the social medias. It's closed on Sundays here at Al Spirits and Music here in Reform, Alabama. And I've got it's an untapping vinyl. I got Monk here with me.
You might as well. You got a liquor store now, so
yeah.
We can untap.
And Taylor, man, thank you so much for coming over.
Yeah,
and,
man.
Hanging out and playing for us.
Of course.
I've
always happy to do it.
Fresh off the tour, man, of like New York, Ohio, was bouncing all over the place, man.
Yeah.
How was it overall? Was it good to be back on the road?
Yeah, I would say overall it was a success, yeah. I mean, I had some slow nights, you know, like some of the Tuesdays and... some of the Tuesdays, maybe some of the Sundays, you know, the nights that you would expect are tough. We took all the Mondays off. But it was a show every night except for the Mondays for a month. So it was a lot. Played a lot of shows.
Yeah, because you had a whole run in Florida.
I had that whole run. That was before, so that wasn't even counting this month-long thing after. So that was like maybe 10 days, the Florida thing.
Okay.
Or, I mean, it was... not just Florida, but mostly Florida.
Get out of there before it gets too hot.
Yeah, and then I'm going back that way coming up in September, I think, or August or September. I've got a couple more runs forming up right now.
Cool.
And I think I can tell just like from, you know, whether it's the podcast or even some of the other social medias, I had recently shared like a short of yours from Porch Fest, and I had a couple people queue in. It was like, I just saw him in Cincinnati here. I was like, I just saw him, like, you know, not in this area. And I was like, well, cool. Glad you found it. We've been preaching the gospel for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good night. Went up to Sheila and I went up to Memphis. I'd never been to Growlers before. I'd kind of always wanted to go check it out. And it was a really cool place. And saw the brother there. It was a good show. Cat Bite, that band you were on tour with.
Yeah.
With Laura Jane Grace, man.
Yeah.
That band kicks ass.
Yeah, Cat Bite.
So, Mo, Cat Bite, what I say?
Yeah, Cat Bite. Cat Bite, yeah. Right.
Man,
yeah.
They're yeah. so good.
Yeah. They're fun. That was a fun tour because each act was different. So it was like yeah. a, you know, one of those cool package shows where each show you're getting, you know, it's like a variety show. You yeah. know, you're getting a different kind of act instead of the same kind of act slamming down your throat for a few hours. You know, you get three different styles.
Yeah.
You know, you get me doing my thing. And then ska. You got Cat Bite doing ska. And then you got Laura Jane Grace, just straight punk rock.
Blister you know. Your face off, punk yeah. rock.
Then I caught the tail end of it at the Sunstroke House.
Yeah.
Laid back, had a Bobby, Matt, and Taylor.
Yeah.
Nice, relaxing little show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good show. I enjoyed that.
Dude, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the setup, man. How long, like, to get the setup to where you wanted it, how long is it kind of taking you to kind of dial it in and get it to where you want it?
For this new little thing?
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress, you know. You're fighting a few different little variables. It's like, because I'm trying to keep it lightweight and small and compact and that little thing, so my amp has to be pretty small. So when I added that kick thing, I'm putting a lot of sound through that little speaker. So hopefully that'll last and I'm not going to just blow through that speaker immediately, because if I do, I'll have to replace it with something that can take a little more of a pounding. But, you know, so far, I don't know, it's kind of cool. I mean, my original intent for that was just to practice at home. I just, you know, I'm basically trying to, I'm always trying to make my home setup as lazy proof and easy as possible to encourage me to play. You know, like, if I know I have to do a big setup and it's going to take me 45 minutes to run all my lines, and, you know, I might just grab my electric and sit on my couch and play unplugged.
I totally get that.
Rather than mm-hmm. practice through my thing. So I tried to make that to where all I got to do is plug it in and everything's ready for me, you know. So it's like this compact version of my PA setup. You know, so the PA setup is I can do a much bigger, louder show. But with this, it's more like for stuff like this, or
perfect sounding for the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for a small setup like this, or
yeah.
a little house show or something.
Yeah. Perfect. And I could possibly do, yeah, like an actual show with that. I'm trying to kind of figure out if that's a thing I could do or not, you know.
And I get the lazy proofing, man, like just around the house, whether it's like with my bass or even my acoustic.
Yeah.
Like if right there at my desk in my little practice room, if I don't have all my things laid out by my chair,
yeah,
I'm not going to touch it.
I've got my studio too like that now, where like it's just already set up for my setup. So I just, all I got to do is just plug in and like hit record and it's on. It, like, all my lines specifically for my thing. Like, I've got my direct line for my guitar. I've got my direct line for my kick pedal. I've got my vocal direct, you know, a mic set up. Then I've got room mics, so I can run it through into my studio gear and through my PA at the same time. So I can just play like I'm playing a gig, but I'm getting a good, solid recording of each line, too. So anytime I'm messing around with an idea, or I'm just kind of jamming, working on material, I'm recording it.
Yeah.
So I don't forget anything, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
I've got hours now of just recordings that I could actually use if I wanted to,
yeah.
for a record or something, you know. So.
And they all run through that foot pedal that you use?
Well, the foot pedal, the guitar.
I don't really understand.
Yeah.
Like, I went to see Keller Williams one time.
Mm-hmm.
And he records every little thing, you know, and it's like 10 different things going on at the end. And so I'm like watching you trying to figure out what's he doing. When is he, like, I'll see your leg stop, but the beat will keep on. And it's just, I don't know,
yeah,
you gotta show me how
so
it works.
I don't really try to build up big, full band sounding loops like some of those guys,
sure, yeah.
like I think he does. You know,
yeah.
some people do that, and that's fine. It's just a different thing. I mean, I only record The only time I'm ever going to set a loop is if I'm going to do some kind of lead solo or something over that.
Gotcha.
And then I pull it right back out when I start singing and playing. So I don't get a loop going and then just let that be the song, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just never been a big fan of that because to me it's like, well, if you do that, then you might as well have pre-recordings and just do a full-on, you know, and a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll play from their whatever, you know, their computer, they'll set it up and they got all their stuff recorded and they hit play and then they just kind of play along with that.
Yeah.
But I wanted, you know, I want it to be a performance. So sure. I don't want to use anything pre-recorded. You know, any loop I set is a live loop.
Yeah.
Which you can still build big loops like that, like a lot of those guys do, but I try to keep a very minimal, you know, mostly just live playing.
The sound, just since you know, Life of a Slow Ear in Westphalia, and like the first time I saw you at the Sunstroke House to up to today, man, your sound and your tone has just evolved so much over the just past what, 2 or 3, 4 years.
Yeah,
it's finally getting to a place to where you're.
Yeah, I can kind of call it my own. I'm trying to, yeah, that's been part of the work I'm doing is trying to develop it into my own thing that I don't see anybody else really doing, you know. It's always been kind of important to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of one-man bands. You know, I dig it.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't work well with people.
You don't have a band to pay at the end of the night. You can just put in your pocket.
Oh yeah, and the scheduling too. Just yeah. Anything like that.
Band practice. Who
or
can't
can I say
it?
Yes to this gig? Oh, I got to check with two other guys to see if they can do it. You know, like as you get older, you know, the people you play with get older too. Everybody has more responsibilities. It's harder to get everybody together.
Yeah,
you know, it almost gets to where you have to pay people just to rehearse, and you know, when you're still, you know, hustling like I do on a smaller level, independent, fully independent, you know, it just makes it really hard. And I knew, you know, all my heroes from back in the day were always doing a lot of those people played one man shows. And a lot of them played, you know, just around their region.
Yeah.
Played, you know, weekly shows or little residencies here and there. A lot of the old blues guys, finger picking guys that I really, I wouldn't say I fully tried to. I don't try to like do that old timey thing. Like I don't try to sound like that necessarily. Like obviously I'm influenced by it, but you know, I try to still do my own version of that.
Yeah.
Like a modern version. I don't really want it to sound dated like it's something from a long time ago. I know that's that's popular now, but it's just something I've wanted to avoid, being kind of pigeonholed into that kind of thing. You know, so more, it's more about the business model that I'm trying to,
gotcha,
that I'm influenced by, you know, of making a living as one person, you know, get the most sound that I can get out of one person, you
gotcha,
know,
yeah,
without some crazy setup, you know, some elaborate setup that you got to set up every time, you know, I still want it to be a quick, easy setup, you know.
Yeah, because it may took you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You were done.
Exactly.
Just show me where the plug is.
And I can set up my PA setup and everything, too, which is a loud, big sound.
Yeah.
And I can do that in about 15, 20 minutes. You know.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
I know, like, just whenever we're throwing the festival or whatever we have going on, if I'm hosting, we've got our sound out there. I'm number one. It's like, especially like people like you that I know does it 3 or 4 nights out of the week is, like, when we're setting up and helping them out, like, whatever they ask for, let's do that, because they know their sound and they know what they need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they don't, we'll help them get there.
Yeah. But that's true. I mean, you know, it is frustrating when people try to fight you on that. And like, well, I this is how I do it. And I'm like, yeah, but
you're not playing.
You're not going to get a performance. You're not going to get the quality of a performance from me if I'm not doing it how I normally do it. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's going to be throwing me off. I'm going to be all like, where's the scent? You know, listening to it from a different speaker or whatever. It's going to make it harder for me, you know. And if I'm having to deal with anything like that, then my mind is not focused on playing. It's focused on...
Why don't this sound the way I
need it? Yeah, like I'm overthinking everything rather than thinking about the lyrics and the songs, you know.
Yeah, man. But, and just back to your tone and the sound now, like, obviously I do hear, like, the blues and some of the older influences, but, man, it's... I don't think there's anything out there that quite sounds like the tone that you're getting right now, whether it's the alternate tune-in... Even the slide work or just like the whole set.
Right.
It's very unique, man.
In a lot of ways that, you know, in a lot of ways that hurts me, but it also, I think, in some ways is a good thing. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, we do live in a world where people sort of, they always want the same thing for some reason. I don't know why. I'm somebody who... I'm the opposite of that. I want to see things that are not the same. I want to see somebody that seems unique and different. But, you know, that's not normally what's trending or popular, you know. So sometimes that makes it harder for me. But I don't care because that, you know, when it comes to that, it's, you know, more important for me to be doing my own thing, even if it's harder to get booked or whatever. But, you know, I'm too stubborn. And got to stick to my what I believe
in. You make the rules, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you got to keep it.
Yeah.
What you got coming up?
Trying to finish up this next record.
How far ahead are you now? Is this like, like you've got two in the can, three in the can?
I mean, I've got, I would say, well, I mean, I've had one in the can forever that I've just been sitting on, a Dead Fingers record that we've just been sitting on for years. That's been done for 10 years.
It's a shame.
especially for y'all, too. I know it is.
Hear it. Man.
Yeah. It's good, too. I like it.
I didn't even get a Dropbox link on that one, man.
I don't think anybody's really heard that one. We've kept that pretty much under the wraps.
Gotcha.
But a new record, are you doing it at your home studio? Or are you with Matt Patton over at Dialback? How are you doing this one?
Yeah, so we did it. We tracked it live at Dialback. And then I'm going to do some overdubs at my studio. And then I'm going to send it back to Matt. And we're going to... we're still trying to figure out the rest of the plan. We're either going to mix it at Dialback, or he's going to pre-mix and get room sounds and everything at Dialback and then send it back to me, and then I'm going to balance it and mix it at my studio. So, we're still kind of trying to figure out the best way. You know, we're also trying to keep the budget, like, really low so we don't run into issues with recouping the money that we put into it, you know. So
I tell you that the Yola, I mean, the latest one, the one that you've been touring, that's one of my favorite records that's come out lately, I know. And
the response, has it been what you wanted or what you hoped for?
It's been pretty good, yeah. I mean, it's been pretty good. You know, I was hoping we'd get a few more write-ups in some bigger publications, and we didn't. We had one writer that's really well-known and writes for those publications. And he said he really liked the record, and he pitched it to those places, but nobody took the bait, you know.
Sure.
So he can't really write about it just because he wants to.
Yeah.
He has to also have the green light from the publication.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to write for Okra magazine, and it was the same way. I had to.
Yeah.
Had to wait. I couldn't.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Just like, oh yeah, I want to cover this person, you know? Yeah. I pulled some strings on the first issue of the magazine and got the Dexateens.
Yeah.
And after that, it was kind of like, okay, hold on, we're gonna be a little more choosy. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm hoping on the next record, he'll be able to do something, but, you know, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is, and, like, with publications, like, I'm sure probably working with Dialback and having the label behind you, it probably helps with putting a tour together outside of the region and also maybe with some write-ups.
Yeah, and you know, we'll get a good bit of local write-ups and stuff, but those just don't carry as much weight as they used to, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, Dialback helps Matt puts together the tours and everything. I mean, he works his ass off. So very grateful for that. And I've had a couple other offers for some labels, but so far I've just said no, you know, because I like working with Matt, and I know that he has my best interest at heart, it's nice to do something together with somebody that
sure
you care about, you know. I mean, I want him to do well, and he wants me to do well, and I could jump to another label or whatever, but you know, I love Matt. You know, I like working with him. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not really very interested in working with a different label. You know, I'm interested in getting, you know, Matt he's actively trying to find somebody else to take on the booking side of it for my shows. We are trying to look for help for that. But as far as the label part goes, you know, I would like it if it would work out to where I stay with him and we build this thing together, you know. So that right now that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, and we're doing fine. I mean, you know, the records are still selling, so.
Good.
We've reprinted it already, and we're probably going to sell out of the second run too.
I've talked to Matt and Wes just for here, and you know, just with the sign on the door, and I'm working on getting all the signage all on the building and on my sign out there. But, I mean, many people come in here, it's like, music, what's the music part? And I was like, well, that's coming, because I've talked to Dialback Sound in Cornelius Chapel about we want to carry, and I think I asked Matt for, I think, The Great Dying, your record, and Laura Jane Grace.
Yeah.
And carry those three in store, and that'll be the Dialback flagship banner, and then with Cornelius.
Yeah.
Probably Will Stewart, Timber, and
yeah,
some of the other things.
Yeah. There's also Earth Libraries is another cool label from You could carry some of their stuff.
But it's loosely just, based it's just in Birmingham. With that, and then like with the music part close on Sundays, and just like doing everything that I can do to like kind of get the word out about like just
local
and
it's
great, don't sleep on it.
That's something that too I've noticed that Mississippi does a better job with than Alabama. You know, it's an invisible line drawn on the map at some point, and you cross that line and Mississippi really does promote their local artists. They more do. Than Alabama does.
The
you know?
The whole I think the attitude and like the state of mind of Mississippi, because if you were to, you take a poll, more people per capita in the state of Mississippi identify themselves as an artist than any other state.
Hmm.
And there's so many, which it may not be with all these cuts that are happening, but Mississippi has more grants. Mississippi has like just more people, more infrastructure for musicians, the arts, just in general.
Yeah,
it seems to be like an attitude that they.
I mean,
in their history. I mean, anybody from the Jim Henson with the Muppets or Tennessee Williams or the Blues or whatever.
Right,
But Alabama has so many talented musicians. I mean, whether it's Mobile, Alabama with the Red Clay Strays, Abe Partridge, and Red and the Revelers, or Birmingham. I mean, we could Huntsville, Must Shoals area, of how much great music has come out of Alabama, and it's really hitting. But at the same time, I see what you're saying. It's like Alabama doesn't seem to care.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, if an act can step up to that bigger league where basically they're no longer working with local people, they've started working with a big label outside of Alabama and a big agency that books them and all that, well, you know, then they end up doing all right. But, you know, it's kind of, it's sad that there's not that infrastructure in Alabama itself, you know, pushing more local artists to be booked around. Like to me, it's like, you know, it's sad that in Mississippi you have like smaller little booking agents that keep local artists steadily booked around and stuff, like, but there's nobody like that in Alabama.
Yeah,
you know, there's no small agencies that book original artists. You know, there might be small agencies that do parties and cover band, big cover bands for weddings and stuff like that, but there's nobody doing, you know, original music, you know, and just keeping people booked steadily around the Southeast or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
and I would think, being from Mississippi, I hate to say that, but being from Mississippi, I think maybe it's expected more of us because of the music heritage we've got, you know,
right,
with B.B. King, with Elvis.
Of course.
With, you know.
You've got all this cool history. But see, the thing is that's another part of it, is like Mississippi's done a better job over time letting those old artists become known, you know, helping that stuff to be more well-known. You know, like Alabama has a ton of old artists that you know, like, I mean, you got the famous ones, of course, the Hank Williams and Sun Ra and stuff, but like, you know, there's so many more that were never known about. It's not like, oh, on this side of the line, the people that are born don't have the same talent level or pool of, you know, there's plenty of old blues guys in Alabama that you never hear about.
Yeah.
You know? You know,
it's that Pineville or wherever it is right there in central Mississippi, like right where it pours over into Meridian, like the history of the blues there is like
kind of starts in West Point, where
a lot of blues names like that, you know,
Howlin'
that
Wolf.
Well, you got the Mississippi Blues Trail, they got plaques and markers,
and
you know, they invest in that, and that because they invest in that, that brings in tourism.
That's right.
And but you know, Alabama could have a long time ago gotten behind that and made Alabama a thing like that, too.
There's a few, and I've reached out a couple times to the people at the Blues Trail marker thing, because Johnny Shines, being from Tuscaloosa.
There's a good example.
Or not being from Tuscaloosa, but, you know, that's where he lived. That's where he's buried at. Why Johnny Shines not have a marker, you know?
Right.
Different things like that,
That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about, you know? I mean, I just, you know, it's sad. And then when you see, you know, funding for the arts, it's such a, like, you know, these people just don't care about it. You know, they're pulling these grants nowadays, like, from artists that were told they were going to get them. Yeah. You know, I sometimes work on projects that are grant funded. I'm working on a grant funded project right now that's probably being pulled as we speak, you know, and that's income, that's several grand of income for me that I'm going to lose, you know, because they were hiring me, you know. I'm not written, I mean, my name is actually written into the grant. I'm not the one who wrote the grant and got the money funding for the project, but I'm the one they were hiring to make the record.
Yeah.
You know, they were using my studio. You know, I'm playing on it, doing everything for it, and, you know, it looks like I'm going to lose that now, and we're not going to be able to, or he's trying to figure out ways to bring the money in elsewhere, you know, you know, that may not happen, and, you know, that's, you know, people don't, you know, they don't, those kind of folks don't care about arts, man, you know, it's sad, and it's culture, it's important, you know, it's, you know, I mean, what do we think about in when we think back on memory of, you know, what has made an identity for Mississippi. It's like, you know, a huge part of it is that. It's the arts.
Yeah.
Huge part of it. And, yeah, it's just sad, you know, constantly be battling. You know, it's just a constant battle to, like, try to let people know that this is important to invest in. And, you know, it's just sad that it's such a fucking fight. It's a never-ending fight. You know?
And then on top of that, it's I've always, and it's a phenomenon to me, it's, and it's not even the case in Mississippi. And you might argue, well, Ole Miss, Mississippi State is not the same caliber as in Alabama and Auburn. But football season come around, if you booked a gig on Saturday, forget it. You know, if the Tide's playing, I mean, people are going to watch their football or whatever the sport is. It's like the entire attitude and the culture is its eyes are on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because that crap just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm guilty of it. I enjoy it too.
Yeah.
But,
well, there's nothing wrong with enjoying sports or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that can't be there too. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. there's room for both.
I can't tell you, like, we used to hold a residency down in Mobile, and it would last from August on into October. And we had a little two-man band. It was a place called the Pelican Reef, like you were going out to Dolphin Island. And we finally got it done to where they moved it from Saturday nights to, I was like, can we play there Sunday afternoons? Because it was so disheartening to, like, be playing a show and, like, the game's on the TV, and everybody's just like, okay. Well, I was like, we could literally sing or say whatever at this point.
Oh, yeah. I still end up at gigs like that all the time. People start clapping. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then I'll look,
just scored.
Oh, Alabama just scored. That's what that applause was for.
Great line. And the last song that you played with the free bird. I got two free birds right here for you.
Yeah. I got that from my friend AJ that I play with. He used to say that all the time. Anytime people come up, because he does covers. But he won't do free bird. You know, he won't do certain things. And people come up and say, "Free bird," you know.
Is that still really a thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a joke
still
now?
A
or?
Thing. It's a joke, and it's some people are serious, some people are joking.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's almost like you don't know anymore if they're being serious or not. You know? But he used to say, "I got two free of charge."
Yeah.
You know.
Four, if I'm barefoot.
I thought that was such a good line. I was like, I'm gonna write that in.
Like, I don't know. I mean, of all the songs that I could request cover songs, I think Freebird would be down the bottom of my list.
Yeah,
personally, I mean, I could think of like Margaritaville, you know, something like that would be even cooler. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Freebird. I mean, especially around here. I mean, I guess bands tend to know it a little easier or better, you know, than others. Not easier, but
I have no idea why it's Freebird. I mean, it's probably the iconic solo.
Yeah, that's always what I've thought. Yeah, it's the solo at the end.
Yeah, with the three guitars.
Yeah, everybody shredding all at once. Yeah.
Well, new record, working on that. What else are you looking forward to, Taylor?
What else? Man, just trying to do the damn thing. Just trying to keep music going. I got a few other projects coming into my studio I'm working on.
Fire Camino.
Yeah, he's coming in soon. Yeah. Yeah.
He finally had to change my name in his phone because he had kept calling his mother, but he would hit Monk instead. And he'd call me at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm dead to the world at 11 o'clock. So he was like, I'm sorry, man. I got to change your name.
It's pretty good. And then I was talking with Eric Wallace the other day, but it seems like Firehouse is doing just as well or better than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, how's the music going with your daughter? It seems like she's hitting her stride.
She's she's playing a good bit. Yeah, she's working on it. She's playing guitar more these days. I see her playing with, you know, by herself, practicing and stuff, so that's cool. She's a really good singer. She can sing harmonies at any moment. She can just start singing a harmony with whatever vocals going on. So that's really cool to see. But yeah, she's you know, she's still just being a kid. She's still young, so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But
I remember the first time you and I met. She was on your shoulders. That's how small she was then.
Yeah.
And she's how old now?
12.
12. Wow.
Yeah, 13 this
crazy,
fall.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a little crazy to me. Like when I just keep up with the firehouse and what Eric's got going on there. It's just seeing the progression of some of the kids as they're moving through the program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the, you know, it's the very much School of Rock kind of thing.
Yeah.
And totally. Like whenever I hear like a 30-minute or 1-minute clip of what they're up to, I was like, wow, they've really improved.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got some students that are really good now. I mean, they've been there for a few years now, 3 or 4 years, and like some of them are. You know, there's a couple kids that are teenagers now, and they're really good. There's this kid I teach. I say I teach. I don't. He's so good. I mean, he plays all the time. He plays guitar all day long. And he's teaches himself really. But you know, maybe early on I showed him some things.
Yeah.
Now when we get together, we just jam.
Yeah,
he shows me stuff too. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, his name's Oaken. He's like a real, he's kind of like the prodigy guitar player, you know, at the firehouse. Everybody knows he's really good.
Yeah.
And then there's a kid, Titus. I teach him guitar, but he's also a drummer. He's gotten really good at the drums. You know, you can see him on videos playing. He's like, this kid's really good, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a handful of them, you know, that are just great. You know, they're going to be local guys that you'll see playing forever, you know, I'm sure.
The next Taylor Hollingsworth.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about, like, with anything, like, with the home studio, like, as far as people that you got coming in, like Fire Camino, anything that you would like to share or announce, or if you could?
I don't know how much I can really talk about a lot of the projects just because they're still kind of far from,
yeah, in its infancy.
Yeah, they're still kind of beginning. I just finished I can tell you about the record I just finished, a band called Haysop.
Oh yeah,
Jameson Hubbard. That record I did, and it turned out great, and Cornelius Chapel is gonna put it out.
Cool.
They played Porch Fest this year, and I mean they really stole Friday night from a lot of people, you know.
They're really good.
I had Haysop, and then I had People Years.
Yeah,
like people were going absolutely nuts over those shows.
Yeah. I mean, they're a great band.
It's like Haysop, like to me it's a weird, it's kind of a, it's like a, it's, it feels very like southern rock, but it also has like a Midwest kind of, it's a good blend.
Yeah,
with the sound that they have.
I can't wait till everybody hears that record, because I think it's really good.
Jameson's so talented. He's going to surround himself with people who are equally talented, so I mean you just know it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, the band is all, everybody was a really good player, you know, really good players. I'm actually getting the Haysop, Joe, the drummer for Haysop, he's going to play drums on the Fire Camino record as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was just so good on those sessions. I was like, man, you know, if you want to ever do any other sessions, let me know. And he was like, I would love to, you know, so... I told Josh about him, and so he's coming in for that. So that'll be cool.
Said more Florida in September. You gonna be on the home?
I can't
be on the home front for the summer, for the most part.
I'll be mostly home and doing my normal local shows for the summer, and then August I have another run going up to New York again, hitting different places this time. And then we're routing that. I think that's going to end up going through Ohio again, sort of similar. There might be a few places I play on this tour that I played last time, the ones that went well, and then the ones that maybe didn't do as well, we're going to try different clubs or different towns or whatever. So Matt's working on all that stuff right now. But yeah, everything's, you know, everything's going well, I would say.
Very cool.
As well as I guess it could be.
Let's do, we'll do three more questions and we'll wrap it up here. Taylor, man, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
thank you. Just as far as the social medias, one you're most active on, would that be probably Instagram?
Instagram's the one I actually use. My Facebook is set up, it's linked to my Instagram. So when I post on Instagram, it shares to my Facebook automatically. So I don't always even get on Facebook. I try to get on there and share. Facebook's so annoying, you know. It's like
the people on Facebook are annoying.
But I try to just share what, you know. It's set up to where it goes to my normal page, my, you know, page that you have friend requests or whatever. But like my band, it won't share to my band page automatically. Huh. Maybe I just don't know how to do it. But so I have to then get on Facebook, share to my band page, which sometimes it lets me and then sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I have to get on my band page, search my name like I'm looking for a random person, then hit share to that. You know, it's like the dumbest thing. It's like, you know.
It is. Well, I have the same problems. Yeah,
the back door of Facebook is so confusing for everybody. I mean, even when it changed to Meta, it really became harder when it changed to Meta.
It did become harder. Yeah, it's like supposed to
get easier, but no.
It's like they're making it that way on purpose or something. I mean, they either don't have people that work there that are doing it what we do, that like are doing it themselves and realizing how complicated it is, or they're doing that on purpose. For some reason, they have some incentive to do that, but I can't figure out what that is. Certainly doesn't make me spend more time on there. Makes me spend less time on there
because
I'm more annoyed by it, you know.
And the at or the handle is Tap Dancing Daddy, right?
Tap Dancing Daddy on both, on all my things. My handle's Tap Dancing Daddy, and I just now got on Threads, which is just, I'm hoping that will also just share.
It will. If you tell it to.
I think I gotta still set that up, but I just did a cover of a Kevin Kenny song.
It's very good. Very good.
Song. That just came out on their. They have a little label, Tasty Goody Records.
Is that Kevin's label?
I think it's Kevin and his wife Anna's label.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, Anna approached me on Instagram and asked if I would be interested in doing a cover of a Kevin Kenny song, which, of course, I was like, man. Yeah, I would love to do that. So, you know, they've had a lot of really notable artists on that. So they're doing 100 different artists are doing 100 different songs.
See, that was never explained. I just always see, because I follow him, and he always reposts all the different songs and things that people are doing. So.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And then they've already pressed, so they're pressing them on records as they come out, as they get enough songs. So I think the total will be 4 records of cover songs.
Cool.
That's a very
good
project.
To pick the song you wanted to do?
I did, yeah. I mean, she sent me a list of songs she thought that I would be, you know, would fit my style.
Yeah.
Which was cool, you know. So I went through those. I listened to those. And, you know, I went back and forth for a little while on which one I was going to do. I kind of jammed on them. I was like trying to figure out which one fit my sound the best. But I ended up settling on Highway 316 Revisited. I thought that would be kind of interesting.
Did you get McDougal Blues? Was that one of the ones?
Actually, I think that might have been on that list.
Man.
Yeah,
I
don't know. It might have been that somebody had already done that.
Got you. Yeah,
or something. Maybe. But I can't remember for sure if that was on the list. But definitely songs from that record.
Yeah.
So because I was also just listening through all the covers people did, because they put it on a playlist.
Yeah.
So I was listening to that a lot to see what other people were doing. But I also was listening to the playlist she sent me of the songs she thought would work for me. So
yeah,
but they're super nice, and Kevin's really cool. You know, I opened up for him in Birmingham just last week.
Yeah, and then the Blips, you guys have played with Driving and Crying.
Before. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think that's how they learned about my music, was through that, maybe. So yeah, we did those Blips shows with them, and then, you know, the Blips broke up. So no more Blips.
Those were good two records.
Yeah, solid two records.
Do I know about this?
I don't think I did. Yeah.
Well, shoot.
Yeah, Wes McDonald pulled the plug. He
got you.
He wasn't interested in doing it anymore.
Huh.
I think he has too much on his plate.
It seems like everybody in that band had already too much on the plate, though, really.
Yeah. It was a bit of a, you know, everybody had their own thing going on, and it was always, I think, meant to be a side project. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then the options open, I guess, hopefully for future dates, just to not play live show, but maybe record a record.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You never know what happens in the future.
It was rocking while it was rolling.
Man, that first record blew my face off.
Yeah.
His second record was great.
Yeah,
the first record was good.
Yeah, you like the first record better.
Oh yes.
Yeah. See, I actually like the second.
I listen to them back to back. I'm sorry. If I get on a Blip kick, I sit through the whole thing.
Yeah. Sheila.
It's good to hear Will more on the second one.
Yeah.
Sheila had in her car. She had a six disc changer,
mm-hmm.
and she had the first Blips record in there. So every time I would drive her car, I would get in and go to disc number six.
Yeah.
Every time. So I was like that record constantly while I was in her car.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Got any favorite tracks?
Well, you know which one I don't like, because I've told you and hurt your feelings.
I forget.
The one that you love, you said was your favorite one on the record, the Wild Thing.
No, it's not my favorite one on the record. No.
Yeah, that's
I like that one.
Inside Out. I mean, definitely, you know.
Yeah, I think Inside Out was my favorite too.
I love that track. That whole record, just front to back. I mean, even the Wild Thing.
That was my favorite.
The Wild Thing.
Might have been me and you talking.
Is that what you and I talking? Okay, I thought I heard Taylor's feelings. I did just now.
I go through phases where it's like you know, when it first came out and the singles were dropping, I was like, nothing's going to be better than Inside Out. And then the record comes out and I'm just sitting with it. And I was like, Wild Thing goes pretty hard. And then, I would get so hung up on Yes, Yes, No, Yes, Yes, No.
Yes, oh my God. Yeah. I love that. That's my second favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Brother West there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a West song.
Yeah.
And then the Eric Wallace, I think it was the last song on the track, Give Me Back My Name.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, just back in town, maybe it's trail walking or reading. Where do you find inspiration for to get back in the studio and get to work? Money aside.
I don't know. I mean, it's I'm just always working on stuff, so I don't know. I don't really stop working on new songs and stuff. I mean, I go through phases where I have a hard time writing a song that I like, but I've learned that that is part of the process. You know, it's like I have to... It's like I've almost learned that I have to write a certain number of songs that I'll end up throwing away to get a good song. So I throw away, but you can't just know, you can't just half-ass those songs, because knowing that you're the good, because that's what it takes for the good one to come, is you have to work hard on the other ones too, even though you know you might not get anything good out of it. You know, it's like, it can be quite frustrating, you know.
But then also, just because you don't like it,
I know, and that's another thing.
Doesn't mean that I'm not going to love it.
That's another thing that I have a hard time remembering. And I've learned that a lot of times, sometimes people's favorite songs are the ones that I was going to throw away.
Yeah.
You know, like,
wow.
That's what I was about. Like,
I wish I was that creative.
It'll be like the lightning in a bottle moment where, like, a song comes to me, the music, the words, everything comes perfectly. I love it. Immediately, like, because I just hit record at the house, and I'm recording everything, too, just in case whatever comes out. And I'll play it out, two or three shows, test it out at the open mic or whatever, playing it for people. Nobody cares. And then I just got this throwaway song that just had a pretty cool little riff, and I was like, it's kind of, and I don't care about it, and I'm not really a fan of it. And people love it, and that just drives me crazy sometimes.
Yeah,
you don't like the stuff that I was like, I really thought this was it, but it's not it.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I'm, you know, the only thing I try now is to make, I really am working hard at, it's very easy for me to just start writing a song as I record it. Like, I can just sit down and write a song and record it. But I'm spending so much time now making sure that I can play it live with just myself. Mm-hmm. So I throw away a lot of songs that are full band sounding, because that is so easy to do. It's like, it's so easy to build a song when you got endless amounts of inputs. You know, like, if I know I'm going to do a full drum sound and bass and keys and background vocals and all that, I can make a good song that way pretty easily. But it's like, I'm so tired of having songs that people request that I can't do live because I wrote it that way.
Yeah.
You know, because I just wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah.
Playing it live. You know, I was just doing it to do it because I'm like, I need another song. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the old way. And that's how I did all my early stuff. Because I didn't ever think about it. It was more like record it, make it great on the recording, and then figure it out later how to perform it.
Would this be like Damn Boy and like Spider Eaters, that kind of, that
I mean,
era?
Anything from that era or before Taylor, any Taylor and the Puffs record, you know, most of that's just me doing everything by myself and layering stuff onto the recording until it's good. And I can, you know, I just can't play certain songs live without that full band, though. Mm-hmm. Or it just doesn't come across. And so now that I'm always playing solo, I'm purposely writing for that solo setup, you know. So, you know, in some ways it's like, I don't know, am I not recording all the songs I could be writing?
Yeah.
You know, like, am I letting stuff that might end up doing well for me one day go? Maybe, but I'm working very hard at just writing stuff that I can perform well solo. So it's like a, you know, it's a bit of a battle to, like, really make sure I'm writing songs that still people want to hear, but I can do them solo, you know.
Last question, walking out the door with a new tone and the suitcase set up. The way that I've been describing your tone or your sound, like when I'm introducing people to your music, and maybe correct me here, is I call it folk and roll.
Yeah, that's what I call it. Yeah.
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 I just wanted to make sure that was the best way to describe it.
Well, I don't know how else to describe it.
Bad,
I mean,
mamma jamma. That didn't really describe it.
I mean, for so long, you know, you get people, like, say you're booking a show or you're doing whatever. You're trying to talk to people who don't know who you are and what you do, and they ask, you know, what genre do you play, or what, in an interview, you know, what genre, how do you describe your music? That's always been very difficult because I don't, you know, I've tried so hard to not sound like anybody else that I'm like, I don't know what to call it because it's not something that's, you really, I don't know what to call it. You know, there's nothing else like it really. So I just came up with folk and roll one day. You know, now I see that term being used.
It's growing. Yeah, it is.
And I'm like, was somebody already using that, or did they get that from me? I mean, I don't know. I made that up. whether it already existed, I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I just came up with, I thought it sounded cool, and it made sense for what I was doing, because it's, you know, electric folk. That's the other thing I'll call it. You know, it's like a folk singer-songwriter, but I'm playing an electric, and I'm tapping my foot, I'm playing slide, or blue, you know, it's bluesy or whatever, but I don't know what else to call it. You know, I wouldn't say it's blues, and I wouldn't say it's singer-songwriter or folk.
No, yeah.
You know, it's different, so it's hard to say what it is. I don't, it's just me, you know.
And to that, dude, like whenever I was seeing the t-shirts or, like, you know, that was the best way I could think of fucking row. And then, like you said, I started seeing that terminology kind of being thrown around a lot. Not just in this area, though, like on a broader region. Like, I was seeing, like, other people who have a very unique sound, and they were calling it fucking row. And I was like, I swear, Taylor said it first.
As far as what I've seen, I did, but I don't know. Maybe somebody had used that before me. You know, I don't know. That's... I didn't see it, or if I did, it was subliminal, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I remember the day I just kind of thought of that, you know. Instead of rock and roll, it's more folk and roll.
Yeah.
You know. The folk in roll is what makes it, to me, that's the difference in the electric, and it's bluesier, more rock and roll bluesy sounding.
Yeah.
But it's still folk. You know, it's still one guy singing songs with a guitar. You know, so I don't know.
Anything else to do, Milt?
I'm good, yeah.
Taylor, man, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, that's been Porch Talk. Go catch Taylor's set on the YouTube, and it's going to be on most of the social media platforms.
And there's already a video. I don't know when this is going to go, but there's already a video on my Instagram feed.
Yeah,
at Monk on the Radio.
Perfect. Well, thank y'all so much.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I don't usually do the live videos on my Instagram, so.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.